Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is I, Griffin Harkonnen. I will go out into the world and I will avenge our family against the Atreides clan who murdered somebody who is in our Harkonnen-based family. I will go out and I will instantly right this wrong. Off I go! Actually, I'm dead. Instantly dead. I said I would fix it. And now I'm deceased. And now this is the sound effect of me rising to heaven. Getting rejected at the gate?
No.
And straight down to hell.
You will consume to me your souls.
Okay.
Was that the hard cut you were talking about in the Discord, Ryan?
Yeah.
It was great. So when I watched it, I reread back your comments, and I'm like, where was it? And then I knew immediately. Like, when I started scrolling back, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right. And so I guess this is the HBO Boys. And I'm Ryan. That's Adam. We're here to talk about Dune Prophecy, Episode 3, Sisterhood Above All. And what we're basically talking about is, well, I'll get us up to speed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Do
so
that.
We are with Valya. She's been kicked out of the Emperor's pad and told to go away by Desmond Hart, Bernie guy. Mm. And we then go into a flashback, at which point I was like, has this show earned flashbacks?
Yeah, I mean, the whole beginning was kind of a flashback, right? Kind of.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, and it's whatever, I guess.
They've chosen to show or do the show in desperate timelines, and okay. Although it feels that like it's an easy out a little bit. It sure feels like it's just easier than to make a story in one timeline. And they were like, we might as well fill in the gaps of the past. I'm like, what do you mean? You're already doing a show that's 10,000 years ago. This is the past. Like, oh no, this is the past of the past.
Now, we need to go 30 years more.
Right. Okay. Now let me set the scene. It's the Harkonnens. They have been exiled on Hoth. Is Hoth the snowy one?
Yes, it is.
Ah, sick, dude. I'm not that much of a Star Wars guy. Honestly, I'm pretty psyched that I got that.
Yeah, it was great. A plus.
Thanks, man. Harkonnens, they're on Hoth, and they've been exiled there. And they're all pretty okay with, like, they've just, most of them have understood their circumstances, other than Valya, who's just like, hey, all of you are cowards. And you should want better for yourselves, and your complacency will be the death of us all. And her brother Griffin is just like, dude, I agree with you. And this is all because the Atreides murked us and then made us go away. And I am going to rectify that by murdering Vorian Atreides, a guy who we still haven't in this episode or any episode yet have met. We see a lot of other Atreides later on, but haven't met Vorian. But I, Griffin Harkonnen, will go out into the world and murder Vorian. And then it just hard cuts to him being dead, and I had to pause. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, it seemed like a very cheap out of that storyline.
It but wasn't even a cheap out. It was just like you could have done anything, and yeah. you could have done anything. And what they were like, and then scene, he's deceased.
Well, I suppose being that the season's only 6 episodes long, perhaps that was a good choice.
Right. I suppose the only choice.
Yeah. You could have probably spent an entire episode on that attempt and failure.
Oh, could have you? Could you? If we're going to do a flashback, why don't we see all of the flashback? Okay, that's fine.
Or at least like a montage cut that maybe lasts a minute or so, you know? They didn't even do that.
No, they just hard cut to a deceased body, and you're like, okay, bye, Griffin. Bye, yep. Griffin, bye. The standout for this episode for me is the actress who played young Tula Harkonnen.
Sure.
Her name is Emma Canning. She was so, so good. So what basically happens is that Griffin dies. Valia is like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to become a sister. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to try to renounce the fact that I'm a Harkonnen, because sisterhood above all. And at the same time, her sister Tula is sort of just left behind to do as she will. But before Valia leaves, she basically is like, Tula, while I'm gone, if you could murder all Atreides, that would be tight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty wild. She did an amazing job. But also young Valia also did a great job this episode. The two younger versions, similar to how House of the Dragon was, that they were just very, very good. And and I didn't know it at first, but the girl who played Tula, young Tula, was also in Masters of the Air.
Okay. Was she the master or the heir?
She was neither.
Okay, she was Helen.
She was Helen. Helen, you look like a Helen.
You look like a Helen, young Helen Harkonnen. Interstitially, we also see the present timeline where Tula is still very sad that her young pupil is D.E.D. dead.
Sure.
And an old lady comes in and is like, you were fine and everything's good. And then Tula's like, get out of this room before I karate chop you in the neck.
Yeah, it just this took too long, man. Like you had made mention that this, well, actually, was it you or one of our patrons that
no,
said it was a little boring. And I agree, it was kind of dragging its feet. But the scenes that were very conversationally compelling were very conversationally compelling. And some weird balance here. But that this scene was kind of boring.
Yeah. Actually, the main problem that this episode had, by the way, we were talking about our Patreon earlier. That's patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. Yeah, you get on a private Discord if you go there. No, blah, 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 blah. So the problem this had is that my first initial reaction to the flashback was, hey, have you earned this? I'm not sure that you did. And then the flashback became more interesting than the rest of the present day story, which that's bad.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Maybe show us 30 years earlier as Dune prophecy and not in current time.
Right. Yeah. If you wanted to just make a show about 10,000 years ago, just like stick to something. I don't know. I think that what they think is that they are providing context to make the present day more interesting. But to me, the present day story is lacking. I don't care about Desmond Hart, feels weird. Yeah. I honestly just don't like Travis Fimmel's face. That's on me. But the vibes are off on the present day storyline. And then in a unearned flashback, all I kept thinking or towards the end was, let's just stay here.
Yeah. I like the younger version of the story much better. It is, there's more at stake, I feel like. A lot of stuff is happening faster, so that's entertaining to watch. I agree.
What you're referring to is, and I'm going to condense this down to like one sentence, but it was the entire middle of the episode. And by the way, I think the best stretch this show has had so far.
It was great.
I still think the best scene was the girl going into the underground. But
sure.
I think the best stretch this show has had, which I wouldn't, again, you mentioned that one of our patrons said this episode was slow. I don't think the middle part where Tula destroyed an entire arm of the Atreides clan, I don't think that was slow. That was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it was gnarly and well thought out and tactful, and it just, oh God, that when she was crying in that hut, and you just knew, man, you just knew something was going to happen. And I didn't know that she was going to kill everyone, though. I thought,
no, you know, or that she already did, right?
Yeah, that she already did, right, right.
When she woke up, she was like, bad news, dude.
Yeah. I know.
I killed your family, and I'm going to kill you.
After you proposed to me.
After you it was sort of the plan, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, my name is Harkonnen. Remember that as you die in my arms.
Oof, cold. No pun intended.
Cold as ice. And then the little boy that was in a scene earlier comes around, and he's like, what has happened here?
Yeah, was that, has he played in something else? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but do you recognize him? I could swear I've seen him before, and not just this show.
That's Oscar Tully, baby. House of the Dragon.
Oh, he was the guy. Yeah.
He was the guy who was like straight mouthing off to butter guy.
Yeah, you know, sure. Damon.
Damon Targaryen. Yeah,
that's right. Okay, all right, that makes sense.
He was so, like, deer melted butter on a stick. Get out of here.
So we got extreme past to wild future. That's 10,000 years in the past.
Right.
Gosh, these wild fantasy storylines, I'll tell you.
We then go to see Valya in her young sisterhood escapades, where she's basically going through like a pledge process, and she's having a tough time because everyone else is able to renounce their prior lives and prior obligations, but she's having a tough time because she's stubborn and she has vendetta upon vendetta, and she cannot say that she isn't a Harkonnen because she's just like, ah, but I am, dude.
Yeah, she's having a tough time. And that I also thought that scene was good, where she's standing out in the rain and just the two, what are they, Reverend Mothers? Are they Reverend Mothers? Yeah. So they were like watching over her as she's like battling with her inner turmoil, and like this girl's a very good actress, and I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, no, both young Valya and young Tula were the stars of this episode
for sure.
Young Tula even more so, but young Valya, eventually the big Reverend Mother comes up and is like, what are you doing over here, dude? She's like, well, I don't know, I just can't say that I'm like not a Harkonnen. And she's like, come inside, idiot. And at that point kind of takes her under her wing. But we know the end of this, right? Where that Reverend Mother dies, Valya, that is, takes over. And then her and the old Reverend Mother's daughter become best friends.
Friendies, besties.
Not, they didn't though. She had her stab herself.
Yeah, for sure. So. Besties in death.
But yeah, it's different. And then, by the way, going back to the beginning of this episode, the guy who played Robert Baratheon, Mark Addy, is in the beginning, has almost no lines in that beginning scene. And I was like, okay, he's like a star. Why is he not having any words?
Yeah, it's weird. I thought that was weird.
Well, I think the answer, it became pretty clear towards the end, and I suppose.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
We shall get there. But
I want more. I want more of him.
Yeah, no, he's when you have a star, Adam,
star
you gotta,
power,
you got to use him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing around here? We're not using our stars. Okay. What are we doing? This is why you're on this podcast, because I was like, Adam's a star.
Wow. Okay. That's okay.
I have to show him to the world. Okay. I am but a vehicle, but a vessel.
Wow.
For this Adam's is stardom.
This is, my head is giant now. Thank you.
Well, rest it on a big pillow.
I will this evening.
You can't be having you drag your head around for the rest of your life.
Anyway.
Any hoozles. Then the Reverend Mother in the past times is going to have Valia and her daughter, whose name I believe is Raquella. Yeah. It do the agony. At which point, Valia is like, no, I can't.
I can't do that. Nope. Don't want to do it right now.
What I'm going to do instead is go home.
Yeah. I want to go home.
Because she gets a message from Tula that's just like, yo, I did it. Come back. Yeah, I did it, dude.
I killed everyone. And she's just like, what does this mean? Oh, that means I got to go home.
I got to go home.
And then the Reverend Mother, it was so quick to be like, yes, of course, you can leave today. And I'm like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah, but just take some agony with you in case you decide to do it.
Just take a little agony if you want. Just, you know, just to see if it feels right.
Just a spritz of agony.
Oh, and by the way, don't come back until you're a mother or not.
Before you, yeah, until you agonize. Valia then goes home, sees Tula. They hug because Tula popped off. And we're giving Tula her due. By the way, this is all within the context of that old lady in the present times being like, Tula, I just don't think you have the heart for this. And yeah. Tula's like, you don't know me.
How dare you?
Let me tell you about this one story about how I murdered an entire part of a family.
Yeah, I became a teenage assassin. So what do you want to say about that?
Right. I poisoned them with berries and shit. Valia returns home. And when the rest of her family learns that what has happened, they're basically like, well, why'd you do that? They're going to be so mad at us. And Valia's point, I think, is a solid one, which is like, oh, are they going to be more mad? We're on Hoth.
Yeah. Need to cut up a tauntaun for this. It's so cold.
And sleep inside it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the giant whales that they're harvesting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I really liked them cutting off the large rectangular pieces of the outside of the whale. I was like, cool. I want one of those.
Seems warm.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I want to make a bed out of it. That's gross. Do you remember that time in this episode where Valia looked at her mom and was like, maybe you kill yourself, I guess?
Yeah, that was pretty great. That was pretty great.
I was so glad she didn't do it because, yeah, same. Like, we just came out of the show in The Penguin where, in a show that I really, really enjoyed, by the way, you can go listen to us talk about it because we did a podcast about it. But in a show I really enjoyed, I think one of the major problems with that was that it didn't have a forward facing protagonist that you could root for the entire time. And if Valia would in this moment also killed her mom, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm glad that she didn't. But we're starting to see the creation of the voice. And there's that other scene where the three girls were in the cone of silence and she had her slap her friend. I was like, oh. And that's like how she's showing off.
We see this, it seems as though Valia like invented this shit.
Oh, 100% she invented it. Absolutely.
Which is huge, right? It's probably the biggest takeaway from the show is going to be like, oh yeah, the voice thing that all the sisters use in the future. This young lady figured it out by accident.
Yeah, and then she started teaching people.
Also, after she almost kills her mom, she goes outside and agonizes herself.
Yeah. She goes onto the top of a cliff and commits agony.
Which is just so dramatic.
It's so dramatic. Like, come on. It's just like...
In the cold?
Yeah. Like, if you don't die from the agony, you're going to die from the recovery of the agony in the freaking cold, dude.
You're going to have hypothermia, Valia. Find
if that
a
even
warm
exists.
Spot. Dig yourself into a whale and do the agony.
Yeah. That would have been a sight. Just
eventually
screaming into inside of a dead whale.
That'd be better, actually, now that I think about it. I'd be like, oh, you know, this show has had some faults up to this point. Turns out, I love this show.
Yeah.
You just whale agonied? I'm in.
I love this show. Four more episodes of that, please.
She bursts out of it at the end. Agony whale! Everyone's like, that's my food.
You ruined our dinner for the next week.
you agonied my food. That's like all we have.
And that's how she became public enemy number one.
Thanks. I'm going to eat snow for days. I appreciate this.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, she successfully antagonizes herself. And then Tula finds her and is like, are you dead? And Valia is like, no. Also, I've seen everything.
Mm-hmm. you know, comparative to Lila's agony, this was a little lackluster, like not as good of an agony.
Well, oh, is that because we didn't barely see anything? Because they Griffin's death the agony?
Yeah, right. Well, like sister, like brother, right?
I guess, yeah. Where we don't cover what happened.
Mm.
Anyway,
just speed through this.
Right. Speaking of Lila, we go back to the present and finally Tula's like, all right. Everybody get around her, say pieces, say deuces, because we're going to do something not weird, creepy, forward thinking down in a cave with her. So just like say bye.
Yeah, the spice keeps her alive.
And then we see Tula or Valia goes to see her dad, who is now a old chair, wheelchair ridden, smoking Mark Addy. And I was like, oh, I know why he took this role, because he now looks insane.
Yeah.
And he's going to definitely have a long drawn out monologue with like a pipe in his mouth and like riddled with old age in a like bouncing into shit. Oh my God, it's going to rip. Also, though, Adam, did you notice that they don't live on Hoth no more?
No, they don't live on Hoth. So things went well for them.
Yeah. Seems like you have an apartment on the top floor now.
Oh,
don't
the
you?
Penthouse.
You have a penthouse, Mr. Harkonnen. Mr. And Mr. I was going to say his name. Then I read it. I was like, no way. I can't say that word. And then. but yeah. It's all looking up Harkonnen, and I wonder how that happened. I wonder how it happened.
Oh, you know, it's a spice.
Yeah, it's a spice. Also, it's because Valiant Tula popped off. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dad.
You didn't go pop off now, did you? And now you're all, and oh, I'm very sorry, in your new house. Are you mad at me in your new house?
The spice of life.
What? By the way, Mark Addy looks like goddamn Merlin.
Yeah, he did look like Merlin. Great Merlin's beard.
And then we port back to Tula, and she takes Lila down into the depths of the Sisterhood Palace, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And hooks her up to like a spice, maybe keep her alive forever machine.
A spice breather later.
Okay.
Breathalator.
No, take your time. Really,
spice breathalyzer.
Don't make it up as you're saying the word. Like, think about what you want to say.
The spice breathing apparatus.
Okay. Cryogenic spice machine.
Cryogenic spice machine. That sounds like a freaking metal band.
Yeah, we are cryogenic spice machine. We are from they're from like Kosovo.
Yeah.
They have escaped communism thrice,
and they have like fiddles for some reason in the background.
Every one of them, the drummer is also fiddling.
Well, you know, the last shot of the episode we saw, that like the slow pan out where Tula's there with Lila spicing it up, and it's like these blue towers of electricity.
Yeah,
I didn't like it. It's a thinking machine. I don't like it.
You're not supposed to have those.
How dare you?
You're the thinking machine was
talking to her. It's Jarvis. Yeah.
We're all getting mad at the little kid for having like a little toy machine. And we got ones that pump spice into deads and keep them alive? Ish? Okay, hypocrites much.
Yeah, this show's off the rails, man.
Yeah, so that's the end of this episode. I went into it feeling as though, and as you might recall, my vibes in the second episode were lackluster. They were low. Sure. I didn't want to watch this show anymore. This third episode afterwards, I was like, oh, okay.
We're back on track.
We're honestly back on track with all the murder and with all, like, there were enough things that actually happened this episode. And that's probably because we're halfway through the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Three episodes left, which is a bummer, because like a lot has to happen in three episodes, right? Like,
yeah. And it, which is even more egregious that episode two is basically filler, like, and relative filler, right? Where it can't be full fill.
Yeah. I mean, there was a 5 minute sex scene. I mean, there could have been some important plot points in those 5 minutes.
Yeah, literally anything else. By the way, directed this episode by Richard J. Lewis, my old friend, director and executive producer of Westworld, the original namesake of this podcast. I don't know if you guys, you might be new here. This used to be called the Westworld podcast as we were bandwagoning at the time. And then it was called the Watchmen podcast because we were like, if we're bandwagoning, we're going in 100%.
Jesus.
And then we were like, we got to pick one to keep forever. And then everyone was like, let's do the HBO boys. And I was like, honestly, I don't like it. And everyone was like, we're doing it. And I was like, fine.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't have a say in that one because I wouldn't have picked it.
Yeah.
But we are the boys, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were outvoted by people who don't make this podcast anymore. So that's chill. Anyway, the point is, Richard J. Lewis, you did a good job, man. I think there was a lot of good world building here. I am just concerned that we're going to spend too much time in the present day in episodes 4 through 6. And I am going to become bored once again because, here's my actual large problem.
Okay.
I loved Emily Watson, who plays Valya in Chernobyl.
She was great in Chernobyl.
And I don't think it's her fault. I just think the character of Valya is insufferable in the future, or at least in the quote unquote present. Like, I don't know. Like, and I suppose, like, she's not, it's a, kind of like a double edge. She was billed as the protagonist in the beginning. I don't think she's going to end up that way. I think it's going to be Tula, whom
I think
at some
too.
Point is going to be like, Valya, you're going crazy.
Yeah. I feel the same way. She's a little dry, I guess. I don't know. I just don't care that much about what happens to her in the future, which is a bummer.
Yeah, like my main thing is we're going to go back to the school, and I think the school is boring.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the Emperor and Desmond Hart, and I think that storyline is boring too. And again, like I said earlier, now the most interesting part of your show is a flashback that I didn't think you earned at the beginning. And then at the end, honestly, something worse happened where it was the best part so far. And that, I think, sucks for you.
Yeah. I hope they can bring it back because I want this to be good and I want it to sit nicely in the Dune universe. I mean, it does sit nicely story-wise. We're getting to know a lot about the Bene Gesserit and like what how they progress through 10,000 years, but I don't want it to get worse, you know.
Yeah, by the way, my favorite part of this episode where, you know, all the Atreides are in the woods, they're there, as you might recall if you watched Dune 1 and 2, like on their walls were bulls. They are famed bull hunters.
Yes.
And at the end, Tula looks up to a cliff and sees a bull, the bull they would have assumably killed that day.
Yeah.
But she then subsequently saved by murdering all the people. And the bull looked at her like, respect.
Yeah, so does she become a bull rider, dude?
No. No, what?
That would be cool.
Sure. It would make no sense.
Tula Bull Rider Harkonnen.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, she needs more names. Okay, this is what happens. Okay. She gets on the bull.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
she rides. What's the planet where all the Ewoks are? What's that planet?
Endor.
Okay, I knew that. That was in the back of my brain. She rides a bull from Endor to Hoth.
Wow.
She slams that bull full force, full speed into a whale.
Yeah.
Where she then does 360 no scopes agonizing in the middle of the whale.
Yeah.
This is going nowhere. Anyway, this is the worst podcast we've ever done. This episode.
It's fine. I don't even care.
Oh, well, as long as you don't care.
It's going to be great. I'm going to listen back at it in fondness, Ryan.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to get to this point and be like, we're stalling. Do the end of the show, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. So if you would like to support us in this wonderful endeavor of going nowhere, you can do that at patreon.com/HBOboys.
That hurt. That hurt when you said it. Ooh, that hurt.
For one or more dollars a month, you can get stuff early, ad-free. You can get some exclusives here and there and get access to our private Discord. So you do actually get something out of that $1 a month. And I get to read your name at the end of the episodes, and I will read our current patrons now. Thank you. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickels, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, Seafritz, and Cosmic Starfish number one. And thank you, Brent Ginn. God, I cannot talk. I'm so ready to wrap this up. Thank you, Brent Ginn, for being here.
You're not good at talking, dude. That's like
no, not today. Thank you, Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you and everyone else who donates money to us. Follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys or at the HBO Boys Podcast, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok. We're there. Interact. You can say hi. I'll say hi back to you if you like that interaction. That's pretty chill. Do you have anything else, Ryan, before we leave our dedicated listeners for today?
No, I'm chill.
Nice. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.